Good morning. Welcome to Apple Turnover, a new podcast where we look back at yesterday in Metsville. My name is Brian. It's nice to be with you today. Happy day after opening day. The Mets seemingly always win on opening day. They have won all but 13 of the opening days since 1970. So that means that most of the years that I've been alive, the Mets have won opening day. And there have been some bad Mets teams in my lifetime. So it's always nice to celebrate opening day for what it is, which is a fun celebration of this weird thing the Mets can do better than anyone else. Maybe the only thing they can do better than anyone else, now that I'm going to think about it. But yeah, so we'll get to the game in just a minute. Before the game, there are a couple of bits of injury news. Of course, the one everyone's talking about, Bryce Montes de Oca. I'm kidding. But no, Montes de Oca did. He was having arthroscopic surgery to remove some bone fragments in his elbow, and they saw that his UCL was loose, which is a term I'm not familiar with when it comes to Tommy John. I've heard of a tear in the UCL, but they said it was loose, and so he had Tommy John surgery. As my friend Chris McShane said to me, what a shitty way to wake up. Like, you know, hey, doc, how'd the surgery go? Well, the good news is we got the fragments out. We also gave you Tommy John surgery, so you're not pitching this year. But, you know, Montes de Oca has been hurt quite a bit in his young career. This is actually his second Tommy John surgery, which is it's a relatively common thing for people to have over the course of a long career, but he's not even 30 yet, and this is his second Tommy John surgery. So we wish him a speedy recovery. But the more pressing news, because Montes de Oca was not going to be a major part of the bullpen and was already projected to start the year on the IL, it's not surprising that he's not going to be there. What is surprising is that Justin Verlander is missing at least his first start or two due to a low-grade teres major strain. Now, if you're like me and don't know where that is in the body, I can't blame you. It seems to be like below the shoulder, kind of in the armpit area. And Verlander has said multiple times, said multiple times in the press appearance he did today, if this were the playoffs, this were late in the season, he would have pitched through this. The Mets are not shutting him down. He's pitching through this. Like, he's going to be throwing, you know, throughout this the recovery process. And so it can't be that big of a deal. I don't know if it's just my sort of PTSD of being a Mets fan my whole life. This seems like a lot of Mets injuries, which is that it's initially portrayed as being nothing minor. And then the next thing we know, it's August and Verlander is finally coming back from this. So on one hand, I do wish they'd shut him down for 2 weeks, just let him rest, and then hopefully nip this in the bud. But if this is as minor as everyone is making it out to be, then we will be seeing him hopefully in 2 weeks or so. The biggest bummer of this, besides just the vibes, like, opening day is a fun day for all baseball fans, but like I said before, especially for Mets fans. So to have the vibes of opening day just bombarded by your newly signed ace's shoulder injury, yeah, really, that sucks. But also, the way the Mets lined up the schedule was specifically so Verlander would start the home opener, and now the home opener will be started by Tylor Megill. And, you know, nothing against Tylor. I actually wrote about him a little bit today. We did a piece in Amazing Avenue about bold predictions for the season. And I said, I think Tylor Megill is going to become a high leverage reliever by the end of the year. I think his stuff will play up in short bursts. And I really like him. I like his pitch selection. I think he's a good player. But for folks who bought tickets to opening day thinking they were getting a Verlander start, this is a bummer. And because this happened when it happened, the Mets can't even pivot to, like, let's say, Kodai Senga opening the home opener, which I think everybody would probably be fine with, but it just isn't going to work out that way. It's a real shame that it's going to have to be this way. And again, no offense to Tylor Megill, 2022 opening day starter, Tylor Megill, I should say. But, it is a bit of a setback, and it just reminds you that even though Verlander has been remarkably healthy over his career, he is 40 years old, and as a fellow 40-year-old, I can say, like, you sleep wrong one day and you're hurting the next day. So we just have to make sure that we are managing our expectations for Scherzer and Verlander, because they are older pitchers and they're going to need rest, and there's going to be little nagging injuries that are going to get to them. I mean, look at the end of 2022 for Max Scherzer, just a guy trying his best to pitch through nagging injuries. So do I think this is a major concern for Verlander? I do not. Is it a bummer? Yes, it is. Could this blow up and be a terrible thing? I suppose so, but I tend to think that the Steve Cohen Mets are a little bit more responsible with shutting players down, with not having people play through injury, than the Wilpon Mets were. So hopefully this is a short-term blip on the radar, and we're going to see Verlander back in a Mets uniform very, very shortly. In terms of the game itself, it was a fun game to watch. Mets opened in Miami at what's formerly Marlins Park, currently Lone Depot, one of the worst ballpark names, I'm going to say it, of all time. Going to Miami has been a not-so-pleasant experience for the Mets many, many times, but today they looked pretty good, you know? They were facing Sandy Alcantara, the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner, who is a beast, who's one of the best pitchers in the National League. And they took good at-bats against him, and they made him work, and they succeeded against him. It was a pretty remarkable performance from that end. Max Scherzer looked really, really good through the first four innings. He only gave up two base runners and had them both erased on beautiful double plays by Francisco Lindor. This was started by Francisco Lindor. And, you know, one of my criticisms of Buck Showalter as a manager in the limited time he's been a Mets manager so far has been that he is not great about noticing when his starters are just washed for the day. And in the fifth inning, Scherzer, he gave up a couple of hard hit balls. One was a foul ball. One was a fly ball to the outfield. He walked another batter. It just seemed like he was maybe starting to tire a bit. And Showalter did not do anything about that. And so in the seventh inning, when he gave up three runs, it seemed like Buck was not prepared to make to yank him at that point if he felt it was necessary. And I understand he's your ace, he's a veteran, he knows his body, but the manager's job is to make the tough decisions. And I think if he had pulled Scherzer after six, people might have said, well, why'd you pull Scherzer? And a perfectly acceptable answer on opening day is because it's opening day and we're not going to overwork him. We had a 3-0 lead and we have a bullpen for a reason to get us to finish games. And so I think it would have been well within Showalter's right and probably the correct decision to pull Scherzer after six innings, but that didn't happen. But that's okay. After five innings, rather. He did pull him after six. Scherzer ended the game with a strikeout, and the Mets responded back and scored two more runs. You know, Brandon Nimmo had to go ahead double that drove in the fourth and fifth runs, rather, of the game to give the Mets the lead. And, you know, the Mets did not hit a home run today. A couple of players did not get hits, those people mainly being, did not get on base, rather. Pete Alonso, Mark Canha was hit by a pitch. But Canha, Alonso, and Eduardo Escobar looked a little bit rough today. Eduardo Escobar looked really good from the right-hand side in his one at-bat against a lefty, which has been what a lot of people have been saying, that he should be the platoon partner with Daniel Vogelbach against lefties, and that Brett Beatty should be playing third base. That's a conversation we're going to have a lot of times this year, so I'm not going to spend so much time on it right now. But, Escobar and Alonso and Canha all looked a little bit overmatched today. Part of that is they were facing the reigning NL Cy Young winner, and part of that might just be spring rust or whatever. Pete did not have a great spring, nor did Canha. Escobar did okay in the World Baseball Classic, but again, it's just early. I'm not worried about one performance from these guys. But it was nice to see Marte steal a base and just be back in what looked like, you know, pre-injury form. McNeil laid down a bunt, a beautiful bunt. I don't like that play most of the time, but, you know, got him on first base without too much issue. And, the offense looked to be rolling along today. It was nice to see some hits strung together. The craziest sight of the day, I think, was so Daniel Vogelbach walked on four pitches, then went first to third on a single, and then tagged up on a not entirely deep fly ball and scored a run and didn't even have to slide. It was quite the sight to see. But Legs Vogelbach, as we'll call him from now on. It was just nice to see contributions from lots of these different players. And then the bullpen was really impressive at the end of the game. Drew Smith got into a little bit of trouble but fought out of it. Brooks Raley looked lights out in his one inning of work, and David Robertson locked down the game and struck out two of the three he faced. It was a pretty complete Mets win and really, really reassuring after the Verlander injury news to see that the team isn't going to turn to stone without Verlander there, that they can still win. And like we said, I don't think Verlander is going to be out for the long term. At least I hope not. And yeah, today was a good day to be a Mets fan. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we have David Peterson going. It is a battle of the lefties in Miami. Peterson against Jesus Luzardo. It's 7:10 p.m. game. It's always nice to get sort of back in the habit of remembering that, like, oh yeah, baseball's not every day, right? And we're watching a lot of baseball over the next few weeks. And yeah, so anyway, we're going to do these hopefully just about every morning for the next few weeks, see how it goes, and maybe this will be a permanent feature of Home Run Applesauce. But until then, go to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce. You can still find my writing and the writing of a lot of our podcast hosts at amazingavenue.com. And until next time, let's go Mets!